This is an audio recording of the summer 2016 9th through 12th grade Sisters Conference held in Richardson, Texas. The progress of the church in seven stages. Thursday, August 4th, evening meeting. Message 1, the church in Ephesus.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity.
Amen.
To be under your speaking.
Amen.
To enjoy your riches.
Amen.
To partake of you.
Amen.
To love you.
Amen.
Be with us the entire weekend.
Amen.
Lord, we freshly give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We're here to hear your voice.
Amen.
We want to respond to your call.
Amen.
Lord, speak to each one of us.
Amen.
Oh, a particular word.
Amen.
A sweet drawing word.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you we can set aside these 4 days.
Amen.
To be under your speaking.
Amen.
To enjoy your loving us.
Amen.
And we responding in love to you.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Bless our time together.
Amen.
We want to have normal growth.
Amen.
Lord, use this weekend.
Amen.
Oh, to encourage and strengthen all of us.
Amen.
To run after you.
Amen.
To love you together.
Amen.
We want to love you back.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good that we could be here this weekend. We're on this title. It's there on the monitors. The Progress of the Church in Seven Stages. This is a huge topic. It's huge, huge topic. But I think we have the capacity, because we have been regenerated, and there's the life of God within us that has the capacity to receive the Lord's word. So, I don't know if this is the first conference they've had here in Richardson. Those that are in Richardson, maybe they've had some meetings. But anyway, we're breaking in the hall this weekend. First conference, and hopefully we get to come again. We don't ruin our experience. But anyway, I mean, just the little bit I've been in the hall, it's been very pleasant, right? Very warm. So anyway, our time this weekend is on mainly in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 on the progress of the church in seven stages. And if you have never read, this is a good book to read. Basically, the essence of what's in this book, written by Brother Nee, I think this was written in 1937. He received revelation from the Lord and realize, wow, this is big, right? So eventually, the title's a little unusual to us because we're not used to words like orthodoxy. I was like, what is that? I would say, in a simple word, orthodoxy just means what God wants. There you go. God wants the church, and so there's a revelation in the book of Revelation of the progress of what happens with the church as prophecy. And one of the things that we want to touch and have some appreciation of is, where are we in the prophecy of the church? I hope eventually you guys can go, I am right there. So as we progress through, it's not just prophecy to us. It's been fulfilled. A majority of what we're going to talk about, John wrote in AD 90, and he was looking in ahead, and he prophesied as to how the church would progress. Well, we're not in AD 90. We're looking back, and most of what he prophesied verbatim has been fulfilled. You know, when I was in high school in your age, you know what I did? I collected ministry books. In 10th grade and 11th grade, I used to go to the live trainings. And at the live trainings, sometimes they would have sales. And they would have 10 books. You know, regularly they're like $4 or $5 a piece. They would go, 10 books for $10. So when I was in high school, I collected ministry books. I have to admit, I have not read all the ministry books I collected. I have a lot of them. But you know what? When it comes time when there's opportunity to read them, I have them. This one's an old one. Some of the highlighting in here is faded because it's so old. I was reading it, and I was like, whoa, all my highlighting's faded. So I had to go from yellow to orange. And I had to re-highlight portions that I enjoyed. So anyway, not bad to, you know, everything's electronic now. So oh, you can go and you can get it. Not bad to have a hard copy, right, to be able to get into. So I'd encourage you, one day, buy the book and read the book. It's very, very helpful. Very, very good. A lot of the fellowship that we're going to touch is related to what's in this book. Okay, so I have firstly three practical points concerning how you're going to get the maximum amount from this time together. You ready? Very practical. Don't you want the maximum? Amen. Like we want the, what? Super salad with croutons and grilled chicken, and I'm saying double chicken. Right? You want the maximum, or you just come to get a little crouton. No, no, we want the whole salad. Okay? So, three practical points to help you get the most. Okay, are you ready? The first thing I would say is what you need to do is hopefully everybody has a pen, and I would encourage you to take a lot of notes. Okay? So, anybody not have a pen? We got to get everybody a pen. Everybody got a pen? I didn't think we'd have a problem with sisters. Sisters usually like to write. But I also brought you a gift. I also brought you a gift. So the brothers will have to hand them out. You only can take one. I hope you highlight your book like crazy. So everybody gets a highlighter. So. Okay, you decide now. Decide now. Purple, green, yellow, red. Decide now. We're not changing out. Okay? Take one and then bring the rest back up to the front, okay? So there's no reason that you can't highlight. Is there any reason that you... No, there's no reason, right? Make sure you... So not only take notes, but when the Lord touches you in your small group time, when the brothers are speaking, when you're having your morning time with the Lord, in your small group fellowship afterwards, highlight all kinds of things, right? Okay, so take notes and highlight. Is that practical? If nothing else, at the end of the conference, you should be able to open your book and go, let me just share with you what I enjoyed, and just read the highlighted things. In spirit, what you see, I turn to see. He's girded about at the breast. I mean, if you just read what you highlighted, you'd infuse whoever it is that you're talking to. Okay, so... First, write a bunch of notes. Underline, highlight, right? The book is quite thick and there's quite a lot of areas that are blank. Fill them in and then highlight them, okay? Is that practical? Is there a reason why you can't highlight now? No reason. Oh, there's no way you can't highlight. You got your highlighter, okay? So that's the first point. Okay, the second point relates to what you're writing and what you're highlighting is I would like you to realize that the way you can get most of what's being spoken is you need to open your mouth. Okay, until you open your mouth over what you've been enjoying, you won't get much. So what you need to do? Okay, you need to open your mouth. So we're going to practice. Sisters, you should open your mouth.
Yeah.
About 40%. Sisters, you should open your mouth.
Yeah.
About 75%. Sisters, you should open your mouth.
Yeah.
98%. Okay, it's not just an event. You should stand with those that are speaking. You're going to be in a little small group, in a little this situation, a little home. You should open your mouth all weekend long. What do you open your mouth on? All the stuff you took notes on. All the stuff you highlighted. It's all good to re-speak. It's when you re-speak it, then you're going to go, whoa, that's really good. You wonder why the brothers enjoy so much? Because they get to speak all the time. It's awesome up here. Hallelujah. Why? Because the more we speak, the more we appreciate what the word conveys, okay? So I would say you need to speak to two people. Firstly, always speak to the Lord.
Amen.
So all weekend long, you should speak to the Lord. What are you going to speak to Him? Oh, there's all kinds of sweet things to speak, right? How about, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
First thing when you wake up, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm tired, Lord. I didn't sleep well, Lord. But I love you.
Amen.
Speak to the Lord. Right? Speak to the Lord all weekend long. And then also speak to one another. You should speak to one another. What are you going to speak? Speak the content of what you heard and what you enjoyed. So your highlighting and your writing isn't just so that you have nice highlighted. You know, one time I was in a training and I sat next to this brother and he had outstanding penmanship. And he would listen to the ministry and it was like artwork. The way he took notes on his outline. I mean, I was in awe. I would just watch him. And, you know, at the end of the time, okay, my mind's not artwork, but at the end of the time, you'd look at his outline and you're like, whoa, take a picture of that. I mean, just exquisite handwriting. Okay, but if it just remains that, it doesn't do that much for you, right? You need to practice to speak what you write. So what's the second point? Open your mouth. Okay, does that count in the meetings? Yeah. Does it count when you're in the car? Count in recreation? All weekend long, you should have your mouth open to the Lord and to one another, okay? And then the last thing is, I want you to encourage, and we'll read a verse here that will confirm this, is that we want you to read a lot. We want you to read. What are you going to read? Read the Bible. I hope you brought your Bible. Some of you have it on your phone. It's better to get a paper copy. Open your Bible. We want you to read the verses in the Bible. So there's a lot of verses that says scripture reading. We might not get to them. You should make a point. If those verses are meant to be read, I should read those verses. And I'm going to put a little requirement on you. I want you to read them out loud. I want you to read them so you can hear yourself reading them. Even you're by yourself. You and the Lord Jesus off in the corner. I want you to read them so you can hear them. Read the Bible so that you can receive the word into your being. Why was that? Well, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You should read all the verses. Read the whole book. I don't even know if you're going to be able to get through all this book. There is so much material in this book. Read it, right? It's not just there for you. Oh, it's nice. It's really great. Read it. You know why we're so weak in our faith? Not enough hearing of the word of Christ. We're going to infuse you with the word. You're going to get a lot of hearing. You're going to walk out of here full of faith. How to increase that? You should read on your own. Okay, and particularly we've used this illustration. The word of God is the nutrients or the substance of who God is that causes us to grow. But if it's just like a can, like you know, it's there. It's a can of beans or SpaghettiOs or you know whatever you like. What is it? It's there, but it's locked up. It has nutrients, but you don't have a way into it. Well, you know what? By the Lord's mercy, we're under a ministry that's like a divine can opener. So not only read the Bible, read the verses, but also read the footnotes. And so you'll notice on your outline, it tells you, right? Key footnotes. Key. And I was telling the brothers, if you guys have never thought about this, we're going to touch Revelation, which is the consummation of all the revelations in the Bible. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you, all I want you to do is do this. Go from the beginning of Revelation and just flip pages. And look and see how in Revelation, how many footnotes is in the book of Revelation. Good night. Every page. Not one verse on that page. The entire page, footnotes. Come on, is it the Bible or is it footnotes? Okay, footnotes. Okay, what is that about? What's going on here? Okay, it's a divine can opener to help you to understand the revelation of the mystery, right? So there's key footnotes, but I would say on Revelation 2 and 3, you should say, okay, this weekend, I'm going to get every one of those footnotes. Why? Because they unlock the revelation of what Christ is. So is that good? Three things. What do you need to do? Take notes. Highlight. What for? So that you can open your mouth. Speak. Okay, do you realize opening your mouth is to stand with the sister when she's prophesying? You go, amen. Because one day you might get up there and you hope the other sister goes, amen. Strengthen you, right? Anyone that's speaking to respond. Did you guys have dinner tonight? No dinner? Mary, you need to have dinner after we... Okay. Were you eating together? Okay. When you were eating together, did you hear anybody make any noise? Like, or, wow, that's really good. Okay, what is that about? Yeah. There should be some response in you. When you're enjoying something, there should be a response, right? So we don't say amen just to say amen. We say amen to strengthen the person speaking and also strengthen our capacity to receive. So I hope these three practical points, I hope you get just highlighted a crazy. Highlight. You would go, look, it's all green. Or, oh, it's purple, right? Anyway, use that then to open your mouth and then practically also, how do you get it into you personally? You should read the Bible, right? Why do we say that? If you have your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says this. Quite striking. I'll read it to you. Blessed is he who reads. Oh, I want to be a blessed man. Blessed is he who reads. That's all it says. Wow. You want to be blessed? Read. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear. So you might read to yourself, but you might hear others reading. Wow. So reading and hearing is so critical, right? Hear the words of what? The prophecy, right? That's what we'll touch this weekend. And keeps the things written in it, for the time is near. So we're not talking about something that you shouldn't be doing. This is what you should do, right? The Lord in Revelation is speaking. It's a book on prophecy. It unveils a lot. So we need to be those that are exercising and actively entering into this fellowship. Okay, if you look at your outline, let's look at our outline. So let's just go through it real quickly. Of course, you have your schedule there on the cover. And then you have where most of the material was taken. It says the progress of the seven church in seven stages. Credits there on the left, page 2. Are you with me? Then it tells you the table of contents where the outlines are on pages 6 through 14. Then there's additional points, and then there's reading excerpts. There's a lot to read, right? There's a lot to get into. Okay, then you turn to the next page on page 4, and then it gives you where the outlines are on each particular message. We're going to cover seven churches. Tonight we're going to get into the church in Ephesus. And then on page number 5, you have a chart. Okay? And it shows you the church, the city, the name, what the name means. It's a very good chart showing you which part or which stage, particularly prophetically, that the church is in that particular. The time, at what time in history. And then also the reward to the overcomers. Okay? We'll refer to this chart quite a bit. It's very helpful. And as believers, you'll see that the Bible, and particularly this portion is written, it says it's to the churches. Even tonight, to us, we can get benefit from this word. It's not just something that happened then and that's a good thing for them. It's to the churches, right? So we should get the benefit from each one of these fellowships, okay? So each one of these is a small epistle. All right, then we're coming to message number 1, page number 6. Okay, let's read the title all together. Ready, go. The Church in Ephesus, a picture of the end of the initial church. Okay, so Revelation is a book on prophecy, and if you have your Bible, and I would encourage you at a time, sometime this weekend, you know, at the back of most of the recovery versions, there's maps and charts. I don't know if you've ever seen maps and charts. You know, they're back there. Get to the end. They're maps and charts. One of the maps and charts is the journeys of Paul. And if you look at that, you can look and see, actually, these epistles were written to actual cities and actual churches. And John was in exile on the island of Patmos. And if you look at this particular chart, it's the journeys of Paul. There's the Mediterranean Sea. There's a big island. It's called Crete. And if you go straight north of Crete, you'll see it says Patmos. It's this little island just south of Asia Minor. So he was there on that island. And then if you go straight north of Patmos and look into Asia, which is orange in mine, you'll actually see the seven cities in Asia. And it basically goes counterclockwise, southwest, all the way up. So it goes Ephesus, and then it goes up. Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia. So it's this big loop right there. It's all right there. It all progresses all the way around. They were cities that John knew that there were churches, and he wrote an epistle to that church. Incredible. You know, Philemon in the New Testament is a real short book. Actually, these epistles are only seven verses long. You want to read a short epistle? You can read Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. It's a whole epistle to the church in Ephesus. Wow. Okay, but you know what? It's packed. Actually, you could say it's intensified speaking. To be able to write an epistle in seven verses and convey, wow. Okay, we'll get into it. So it's not, John wasn't writing ethereally to, oh, there's these places. And no. He was on the island. He probably was like, yeah, it's right over there. Here's Ephesus, right? He wrote an epistle to the churches in these particular cities, okay? So the first epistle in this revelation and progression of the stages of the churches is to Ephesus. Okay, is this the first epistle to Ephesus? No. What do we have? Did Paul wrote, right? What did Paul write? Yeah, he wrote the book of Ephesians. Was Paul ever in Ephesus? A bunch. He's bunches. He was there, one section in Acts, he was there for 3 years. Okay, Paul logged lots of hours with the church in Ephesus. Was Timothy in Ephesus? Timothy also was in Ephesus. Okay, so this church, and if you read, you know, one of the brothers said, if you're ever stranded on an island and they ask you, which book of the Bible do you want? He would say, take the book of Ephesians, because it's really good. And man, you could chew on that for a long time. The book of Ephesians is incredible. Also, the unveiling of what the church is. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about what the church is. All the description and stages of what the church is in reality, right? The called out assembly, right? The household of God, right? All the details, the body of Christ, the new man, the bride of Christ, all the details of what it was written to Ephesus. So this isn't the first epistle, but John also, he writes an epistle. And it's amazing. In essence, he reiterates the same thing that Paul wrote. He doesn't change, it's not a different tune, it's the same thing. So it's very, very precious. Okay, so sisters, one of the characteristics in all of these seven churches, I just want to mention this, and you can write this down. You should write this down because you'll come back to this many times. In every one of the seven epistles, there's four main things that happen. Okay? And you should get this. In every one of the epistles, you always have, firstly, there's the name of the Lord Himself. The Lord unveils who He is, number one, okay? So when you're starting to read these epistles, guess what's first going to come to you? The revelation of who the Lord is in every one of them. Then the second thing is, in every one of them, there's the condition of the church revealed. What is the condition of the church in that particular epistle, in that particular city? Then the third thing in every epistle is, there's the reward to the overcomers. Every one of them has a reward. So the Lord's name and the Lord, who the Lord is, the condition of that church, and then the reward to the overcomer. And then the last thing is, in every one of the epistles, it always makes this point, there's a call for those that have an ear. He that has an ear, let him hear. You could say, what will you do with that call, right? What will the believers, what will we do by the end of this week, and what are we going to do with that call, right? So when we're going through this week, and remember that these four things are in every single one, right? Who the Lord is, who his person is. He actually, listen, he's the solution and the answer to what the church needs in that particular epistle. Amen. If the church would get Christ in the way he's unveiled, their problem would be solved. Amen. Right? Okay, so those four points are very, very critical to pay attention to throughout the weekend. Okay, let's go through briefly and touch a few of these verses in the first chapter. You know, Revelation chapter 1, what is the book of Revelation? It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of a person, right? And it also indicates at the very beginning, it's a book I just read, it's a book of prophecy, right? John was writing and saying, this is going to happen. He saw something and they told, write it in the scroll and send it. Okay, he was looking forward, so it was prophecy. You know where we are? We're way down here and looking back. And everything that he wrote has been fulfilled. Incredible. Every single thing that he wrote about concerning the church in its stages has come to fruition. It's been fulfilled, right? So we need to see where we fit in that process. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 1, there's this unveiling of our wonderful Christ. And I would encourage you to, we can't get into every detail, and I'm just going to point out a few of the points concerning the Lord. But you should read these verses tonight and consider the unveiling of who Christ is in all of these first, basically it's verses probably 4 through 20 or 5 through 20, unveils who this marvelous Christ is. And you can take the unveiling of who Christ is in all those verses and see that at the beginning of each one of the epistles, what he was unveiled as is applied in a particular way. For example, to the church in Pergamos, which is the worldly church, you know what he is? He's the Word of God with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. That's unveiled in that first portion in Revelation chapter 1. So all the details of who Christ is meet the need of every particular church, okay? So read through the first, the verses aren't here, but you should read starting with verse 4 up to verse 8. And then it picks up these verses here in verse 9 through 20, okay? I'll just touch a few of them. Follow along. We don't have much time. In verse 9, are you with me? Page 6, right? Okay. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. Why was he there? Because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Okay. Read the footnote on testimony of Jesus. You're like, testimony of Jesus. What's that? Read the footnote. It'll unveil to you. Wow, the testimony of Jesus is the revelation of the church. The church is here. So what is the Bible about and what's the consummation about? Christ and the church. We're at the consummation. The whole Bible reveals Christ and it unveils what's on Christ's heart, the church. So do you think John's going to write something differently? No, the unveiling and fulfillment is also concerning the testimony of Jesus. Okay, then it says, I was in spirit. Amen. Sisters, if you don't get to your spirit, you won't see anything this weekend. Okay, so who has a sweater or something that they can use as a demonstration? You have a sweater? Okay, sister, can you go back there? Elizabeth, can you go back and get that sweater for me? Okay, we're going to use you, Elizabeth. So we won't hurt you. What we're going to do is veil Elizabeth. So face everybody this way. And so we're going to veil Elizabeth. Okay, so to see something, you have to use the right organ. this weekend, we want you to see a lot concerning Christ and the church. Okay, but to see something, this is mostly our condition. We're veiled. Of course, the veil's not too thick. She can probably see some light through it. She might be able to see a little bit of you. What we should have is a big black veil, so she can't see anything. Okay, there's four things with seeing, and I want you to pick this up all weekend long. Here he tells you, I was in spirit. Okay, if you don't use your spirit, you won't see anything of the prophecy. Actually, people have been reading Revelation for thousands of years, and they don't see anything. They're like, what is this book about? I don't see anything. Why? They're not using the right organ. Okay, so with seeing, firstly, you have to realize that mostly we are veiled. So there's a veil on us. So what needs to happen? Okay, the veil needs to come off. How does the veil come off of you? How does the veil come off? You turn your heart to the Lord. You turn your heart to the Lord. So I would say, before every meeting, as you're on your way here, you should be praying, Lord, I want my heart turned to you. What does that do? That takes away the veil. That's just the beginning. What if all the lights were in here were off? The veil came off, but all the lights are out. And it's pitch dark in here. We'd say, Elizabeth, who's sitting on the back row? I can't see. Nobody can see. There's no light. So you know what? We need to pray, Lord, shine your light. Not only do we need to be unveiled, but there needs to be the Lord shining. Okay, what if her eyes are closed? Sometimes we turn our heart to the Lord, but our seeing organ is shut. So there's lights on, but she has her eyes closed. And I say, oh, you know, Elizabeth, tell me who's in the last row over here on the left side. Amen. A sister? Well, pretty close. Yeah, there's only a few brothers. What's the sister's name? Can't smell it. Yeah. Okay, we turn our heart to the Lord, but you know what? Our spirit's not exercised. So we have no seeing. The eyes of our heart are veiled. Even we say, Lord, I turn to you, but we're not exercised. Okay, so that's three. So you have to turn your heart to the Lord to get unveiled. The Lord needs to shine, right? You need to have, listen, your eyes open. Your spiritual eyes need to be open. Oh, you hear it again. Elizabeth, turn around and face the wall. What if we said, oh, all those things are happening with Elizabeth. Praise the Lord. The veil is off. The lights are on. The shining is here. Her spiritual eyes are open. But she's not oriented to be able to see. Elizabeth, you have to turn to see. Sometimes we're in the room and the Lord's speaking to us. We're like, Lord, where are you? Lord, what's going on? How come the sisters are so excited? Wow, this is odd. Lord, where? You have to turn to see the voice. Do you see that? Positioning matters. What if you're not in this room? You can't see what's in this room, right? So, sisters, all week long, thank you, Elizabeth, all weekend long, we need to exercise, have the veil removed, right? Pray that the Lord would shine the light. Use the right organ. Lord, the spirit. Oh, we want to have an exercised spirit and we want our whole being turned to you. If not, we're going to be talking to you and you're going to be like cows. Moo. 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 Why are they so excited? I got nothing. I got nothing. It's like, you know, an orchestra is playing and you're deaf. Like, you're not using the right... So, all weekend long, right? Use your whole being in this direction. In all the meetings and in all the fellowship, we need to say, Lord, remove the veil. Lord, shine your light. Lord, cause my spirit to be exercised and ready to receive. And I want to turn to see you. I want to be in the right position to see the Lord speaking, okay? So, concerning the Lord, in this section, it says what? John was where? In spirit on the Lord's day. And what happened to him? He heard behind him a loud voice like a trumpet saying, what you see, write in a scroll. Sisters, I hope you see a lot. I hope you write a lot. You should write a lot. What you see, write. You see a little something, write it. Write it, right? What you see, write, okay? And then it says what? What you see, write in a scroll and send it to what? Send it to the seven churches. So And then he tells you, this verse is awesome. By the way, the revelation that's in the Bible is so consistent. And John makes the point, send it to seven churches. And then he tells you the name of seven cities. So how many churches are in Richardson? One church, right? He didn't say to the northern part of Ephesus. Church in the northern part of Ephesus. And then the southern part of Ephesus is another. No. The church is one in each city, right? So then he lists them. The seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And oh, how each name, like we just touched, and you'll see in the chart, every name has meaning. Every name. That particular city, the reason it's named that is there's a particular reason. It has a particular meaning for that particular stage of the church, okay? And then he says, I turned to see the voice. So he heard a voice that's like a trumpet. You know, and he's like, I got to see this thing. So, you know, he turns to see the voice. And what does he see? He should have said, and I saw the Son of Man. He doesn't say that. What? If you're hearing a voice from someone and you turn to see that voice, you should see a person. You know what he sees? Turned, and I saw seven golden lampstands. Like, what? There's a voice in the lampstands? What's going on? Wow. Turn to see the voice, and he sees seven lampstands. What are those lampstands? And in the midst of the lampstands, there is one, right? One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet. What kind of garment in the Old Testament reached to the feet? The priest's garment, right? Remember from Aaron's beard all the way down to the skirts of the garments? Remember that psalm? He was clothed as a priest. The Son of Man is clothed as a priest, right? So here's, we see who the Lord is in the midst. Not only that, but what does it say? Girded about at the breast with a golden girdle. Girdles are worn around your midsection to strengthen the core of your being. Yet here, the girdle is about at the breast, strengthening the organs of love. So the Lord was full of love for the churches that he was in the midst of. In the end, at his coming back, he's full of love. He's so tender, so concerned, full of feeling, right, toward the church, okay? And his head was what, white? Or his head and his hair were as white as white wool. This is not the Lamb of God that John saw. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. No, this Lord is quite strikingly different. Paul, read the footnotes. Amen. You're like, what is going on? Okay, you know what John does too after he sees all the details of who this one is? You know what he does? He falls on his face. Because it's so striking, right? The characteristic mainly of our Lord at this stage is he's the Lord of judgment. And you'll see in every particular church, there's a judging being carried out so that he can gain what he's after. Okay, his feet were like shining bronze, having fired in a furnace. His voice was like a sound of many waters. And what happened? And in his right hands were seven stars. And out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. And his face shone like the sun as its power. And when he saw him, he recognized him. And when he saw him, what did he do? Fell on his feet as dead. And he placed his right hand on him. And so the Lord touched him. Very affectionate. You're in fear and trembling of this one. You're shocked. White hair, burnished brass, sword coming out of the mouth. Well, what is going to happen to me? He speaks and touches him, right? Do not fear. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I have become dead, and behold, I am living forever and ever. Amen. I've passed through death and resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of death and Hades. John, don't worry. It's the same. I'm the same Lord. Yeah. It's just that there's a need. Right. I become intensified. Yeah. for the particular need of the church, right? Then he says, therefore, right? Write these things, therefore, which you have seen, the things which you have, that which are and the things which are about to take place. Okay? So actually, that verse is actually the whole outline of the entire book. The things that are is one section, right? Right? Write therefore these things which you have seen. So he saw something, and at that present moment, he wrote about it, right? Then it says what? Things which are, which means they're presently happening, they're about to happen. This is what's going to go on, right? Eventually, the last part. What is the last part? Things that are about to take place. So if you look at the Recovery Version outline, the outline follows it exactly, right? Then it says, the mystery of the seven stars which I saw upon my right hand, seven golden lampstands. Then he tells you, the seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches. And what are the lampstands? The seven lampstands are the seven churches. Okay? So in John's turning to see, he saw who? Christ and the church. Incredible. And Christ and the church in practicality, because it was lampstands. And it was churches in cities, right? Okay. All right, sisters, let's alternate. Let's read through these next portions. Okay, how about let's go down to the outline. Ready? Let's just read. This section will be one here, the middle section, and then that section, okay? And we'll just alternate. Let's read Roman numeral 1, A, B, and C. Okay, this section, Roman numeral 1. Ready? Go. Okay, the center section A, this is okay, this section B. Altogether C. Okay, then I'm going to go to Roman numeral 2. This starts the section on Revelation 2, 1 through 7. The first epistle is to the church in Ephesus. A, it provides a picture of the end of the initial church. At some time this weekend, I'd encourage you to go back and spend some time on the chart. There's a chart back there. It's a color, gives you some sequences, some details. Brothers, put it up on the board. Anyway, spend some time. We'll also hand you something out so that you can follow along. Okay, it's the church. It says it's the church at the end of the initial church, right? The end of the initial. So this, the Lord went to be, he was resurrected in AD 30. And then John wrote this only 60 years later, a little less than, say, about AD 90. Okay, so at the end of that period of time, it hadn't gone that far. You know, read Acts. The church was glorious and marvelous, and the Lord was adding to the church, and all kinds of things were happening. You have no sign of degradation in Acts. I mean, it's like the church is just blossoming, flourishing, awesome. It didn't take that long, and John's already writing that something's happening and going down. Didn't take very long at all, right? So this is the church right at the end of the first century. Okay, so it says what? It provides a picture of the end of the initial church. This is the church in the first stage during the latter part of the first century. Then it says, Ephesus in Greek means what? So to the Lord, the church at that time was still desirable. Ephesus was desirable. And you'll see the characteristics. Actually, it was an awesome church. If we could just have half of what Ephesus had, we would be going like, woohoo! Man, this is good. Okay, so we'll get into the details. So it was desirable, signifying that the initial church at its end was still desirable to the Lord. The Lord still had much expectation in her. This is good, right? Okay, let's get into the details, the prophetic characteristics of Ephesus. How about let's read through the verses again by the sections? Let's go 1 through 7. First, this section, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. It's under the verses I just read. It says, to the messenger. Ready? Here we go. To the messenger
of the church in Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands.
Sounds like a verse we read in chapter 1. Oh, you mean the Lord? Yeah, here it is. Application of who he is to this particular church. Okay, verse 2, middle section. Sisters, read loudly. Okay, this section 3. And you have endurance. Okay. Amen. Okay, back over here. But verse 5, middle section. Remember, therefore. Okay, 6. But this. Has an ear, let him hear. Spirit says to the churches. Okay, let's look at Roman numeral 3 concerning the prophetic characteristics of Ephesus. Okay, follow along. I'm sure some of you are exhausted. You drove from San Antonio. You're like, okay, oh man, I'm pretty much done. It's okay. We'll be done here shortly. Exercise your listening ear. Okay? We'll get through. Prophetic characteristic. Okay, it says, A says, the Lord tells us what kind of person he is. What kind of person he is. According to the condition of the church revealed in that particular epistle. Okay, to Ephesus, he tells us he's a particular person. One. All together. Go. What does he do? Holds the seven stars. His right hand. Interceding for the messengers of the churches. Number 2, walks. Okay, so the footnotes are very good in this section, but it's striking that it says, he says, send it to the seven churches. Then he lists the seven cities, but then it says, send it to the messenger of the church. So you're like, what? Okay, well, get into the details of the footnotes. There are ones. It says he's holding the seven stars in his right hand, right? And the seven stars are, listen, they're the representatives of that particular church. Some of the churches are in bad shape. It's not just elders. It's the ones that are shining. The Lord is holding them up to continue to strengthen the testimony in that place. Listen, it is a definite thing that in every local church, there are stars. There are shining ones that the Lord can speak to. And sometimes you're in a meeting and you realize those saints speaking is the Lord speaking to us. Amen. So the Son of Man revealed this to John. John wrote it to the messengers, and the messengers conveyed what John and the Lord conveyed to them, right? So the messengers were the ones that received it. You know what he's doing with those messengers? He's hanging on to them. Not a small thing to be in the Lord's hand, right? Okay, so, and also what? He's walking in the midst. Walking in the midst. This weekend, the Lord is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Sisters, where should you be? In the lampstands, in the churches. Be where the Lord is. If he's walking in the churches, I want to be where he is. You're like, well, I don't know where the Lord is. Get to where he is. He's walking amidst the lampstands, right? He's walking amidst the churches, okay? So, what? Judging? No, he's girded about the breast. He's full of love, right? Holding the stars in his right hand, okay? B, the condition of Ephesus on the positive side. There's a lot of positive things with the church in Ephesus, okay? You ready for them? Their works, their labor, their endurance, cannot bear evil men, tried false apostles. Okay, these are big. Their works. They did a lot of positive things. So, not only works, but labor. You know, there's a big difference between having a job and working and being in an environment where you have to labor. An example of that is the owner of the company labors. The employees work. Sometimes, you know what the owner wants? The owner wants to work, wants his employees to do the same thing he's doing. But it's not their company. He labors. So one time a brother said, you know, man, this guy's working me like crazy, you know. It's 10, 12-hour days. Then it went to 6 days a week. Then for months it was 7 days a week. He's working. He said, I've had it. I can't do this, you know. It was just a job to him. And he went into his boss and he said, I can't do this anymore. I got a life. You know, he says, you're asking too much. And you know what the owner said? I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not doing. Like, well, but I'm not the owner. And it's like, I'll do the job. But you know what? He was laboring, right? Laboring is, he's not looking at the clock. 8:05, see ya, bye. That's a job. That's a work. Not only did Ephesus, listen, worked, but they labored. You know, having children, women have a lot of labor. It's not just, have a child. Right? There's a lot that goes into the process. Okay, so all of these positive things, not only labor is a long term, right? How about endurance? Most of us, we're wimpy. We don't last very long, right? The church there were full of endurance. Cannot bear evil men, tried false apostles. At the end of the first century, all kinds of false apostles were rising up, teaching all kinds of different things, right? What did they do? They said, no, we're not standing for that. That's not according to God's economy. That's not what we learned from Paul, right? There was a lot of false, they dealt with them. Not here in our church. That's garbage. That's not God's economy. They stood for the ground and the revelation that the Lord had given them through the apostles. Okay, they have endurance. They've borne all things because of his name. They've not grown weary. Not grown weary. Awesome. So many positive things, right? And listen, they hate the work of the Nicolaitans. We're like, oh, who are those people? And why do they hate the work of the Nicolaitans? Well, eventually in the verse you read, it says, the Lord says, which I also hate. You know what the church they're outstanding in? They love what the Lord loves and they hate what the Lord hates. What does the Lord want from you? He wants you to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And that's what they were. They hated what he hated. Well, in history, there's no such thing as Nicolaitans. They've looked. They've tried to find this group of people called Nicolaitans, and in history, they can't find this group. But John, and through the revelation, they said that there's this group called Nicolaitans. Who are they? Well, if you break down the word, it means, right, Nikos and Laos had to do with there's some that were rising up to conquer the common people. And it was happening. And listen, this is only Ephesus. It wasn't a teaching yet, but it was their works. This is what was actually happening. And John said, hey, this is happening there in Ephesus, and you guys are recognizing it, and you're not standing with it. Marvelous. We need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Okay, I'm going to give you a practical way, sisters, how to hate the work of the Nicolaitans. Here's a practical way. Like, oh, what is that? Well, you know, okay, the essence of it, eventually it develops in the later stages to become a clergy laity system where there's some that are over others or only certain ones can be carrying out God's work and everybody else needs to listen to what that person has to do. In the Catholic Church, it was priests, right? Eventually, what? In the next stage, it's another group of people, right? Anyway, there was always a group of people. Some are over and some are under. In the Old Testament, God said, I desire that all of my children be priests. In the reality of the New Testament church, every one of us should be a priest. Okay, how do we hate the work of the Nicolaitans? We exercise to function as a member in the body of Christ. The way to hate it is to not allow yourself to be in this realm of being, oh, like, oh, I'm just this little sister. I don't have that much. I don't know the verse. I don't think I can ever speak. Then you just sit there, meeting after meeting, meeting after meeting, meeting after. You know what? You're carrying out the work of the Nicolaitans. You say, oh, the other sisters can do it, or the other brothers can do it. I'll just sit here. I'll just, you know, it's been year after year, 9th grade, then 10th grade, then 11th grade. I just, you know, I just don't think I can do it. I just, you're not hating what God hates. You're not functioning is you're agreeing that there's a system going on. You're creating it, but you're not functioning, right? We need to hate what he hates. Okay, then look at the condition. The condition of Ephesus, there is one thing on the negative side. What happened with Ephesus? It says the Lord has one thing against them, that they have left or they have abandoned their first love. Okay, this is where the burden of the message is, and I have a number of points on this. You sisters need to take good notes. The first love there is the same word. First love is there. It's the same word in Luke 15 concerning the best robe. The prodigal son coming back, you know what the Lord, the Father did? Ran to him and put the best robe on him. It's the first love, okay? So, all of us, by faith and in reality, we love the Lord. Let's all say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Ready, go.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
The question is, are you loving the Lord with your best love? Are you loving the Lord with your best love? Well, we need to learn from Ephesus. You know, this was the one thing that Ephesus had against them. And he said what? I have one thing against you. Okay, so if you look at the verses in the first epistle, who has their Bible? You got your Bible? Whether it's on your phone or I'd like you to look up a couple verses. Paul wrote to Ephesus, okay? What do you think Paul emphasized to Ephesus? What did you think Paul emphasized? You think John's going to come along or the Lord's going to come along and emphasize something different? Okay, so I've got a couple of verses here for you. Okay, so who has their Bible? Who wants to read a couple of verses? Okay, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 9. Another verse? Who would like to read another verse? Okay, Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. 23 and 24. Okay. And sister, when you're reading, wake us up with the word love. Love is mentioned in these verses a number of times, okay? So read. Okay, sisters, let's stand with her reading. Stand up and read it. Okay? Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Ready, go.
That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory.
Amen. 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 So we need to be rooted and grounded in
love.
This is Ephesus. Their roots went into love. And they're building up. Their foundation was love, right? And that they would have what? The knowledge surpassing love of Christ. This is what Paul wrote with Ephesus. Ephesus was a church full of love. Okay, sister, 6, 23 through 24. Amen. So the very last verse Paul writes talks about love. So the characteristic of the church in Ephesus at the beginning was they love the Lord. They love the Lord. But what happened? Something happened where this is the only thing against them. It says you have left or abandoned your first love. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, sisters, this is very critical. The beginning of the degradation of the church is losing the first love and best love. It's so critical, right? So, not a small thing to recognize. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, we love the Lord. And this weekend, we want our love to be fanned into flame, right? We don't want to be stuck in Ephesus. going, oh yeah, well, we just lost our first love. Actually, that's the beginning of all the degradation. You lose your first love. All the degradation follows. Okay, so on this point, I would like to mention five things in terms of how do you maintain your love for the Lord. You ready? 5 points. If Ephesus was one who fell away from the first love, we need to go, Lord, I want to go against that. How do I go against that? Okay? So 5 practical points of how all weekend long, hopefully we would practice these 5 points. So how do you maintain your first love for the Lord? Number one, tell the Lord you love Him. A lot, right? What is that? Have a fresh contact with the Lord. Why? He's full of love. You touch Him, He's full of love. When you get a hold of an intimate relationship with Him, you'll get filled with love. The reason you're not loving the Lord is you haven't had a fresh contact with Him. How do you contact Him? You should, in the morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. You need to say it a lot, right? The more you tell the Lord you love Him, the more your love for Him will be stirred up. How to maintain your love? Tell the Lord you love Him. Amen. Contact Him. Amen. You know what will happen? You'll get filled with love. You thought, well, you know, you just said, Lord, I love you. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I do love Him. I really love Him. What happened? The Lord of love filled your heart. Amen. Right? So number one, practice to contact the Lord of love by telling Him, Lord Jesus, I love you. How about we try? Ready? Go. Lord Jesus, number two, we need to take care of our conscience. Whoa. Loving the Lord has to do with our conscience? Okay, who has their Bible? I'll read these verses to you. Take care of our conscience relates to the Lord's love. Okay, the reference for the first verse, for the first matter of contacting, is 1 John 4:16-19. 16 and 19, okay? So if you go back and look at those verses concerning contacting the Lord and being in love with the Lord. 1 John 4:16-19. Then this section concerning dealing with your conscience is 1 Timothy 1:4-5 and also verse 19. So I'll read these quickly to you. We need to deal with our conscience. You're like, how does your conscience relate it to loving the Lord? How does your conscience relate to loving the Lord? It relates a lot. Actually, we don't love the Lord because we have a problem with our conscience. And if we would deal with our conscience right away, our love for the Lord, it gets stirred up. You know, in Luke it says, those who have been forgiven much, love much. You're like, I don't love that much. You know why? Because you haven't been dealing with the sins and the things that are between you and the Lord. You start dealing with the obstacles and the sins and the transgressions and all the things between you and the Lord, and right away the love of the Lord stirs up in your being. So, sisters, tonight I would say before you go to bed, you should have a time with the Lord to deal with your conscience. You're like, why am I not loving the Lord that much? There's probably some things between you and the Lord that you haven't confessed. It says if you confess, He's faithful and righteous to forgive. You deal with your conscience. I don't know how many times I was right and my wife was wrong. And the Lord said, apologize. And I said, no. And then I said, yes. And then I went to my wife and I said, I am so sorry, dear. And you know what happened? I got filled not only with the Lord's love, but a love for her. I was like, what? How does that work? It works. Some of you haven't apologized to your mom, to your brother, to your sister, to your younger brother, to your dad, to your roommate. The age is, don't apologize. Let it be swept away. Oh, it's okay. She'll forget. I'll forget. And you know what? It just builds up walls. We need to deal with our conscience, right? So if you look at the verses there in 1 Timothy 1:4, it's quite striking. It says, even I exhort you, when I was in Macedonia to remain in Ephesus, so he was there,
in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things, nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies which produce questionings, rather than God's economy which is in faith. Okay? That's not the verse. Five. But the end of the charge is?
Love.
Out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of unfeigned faith. The end of the charge is love. But you know what? For the love to be real to you, it has to be, there has to be a pure heart, right? And there has to be a good conscience. So, sisters, the way to maintain your love for the Lord is to deal with your conscience. The more you deal with your conscience, the more you'll love the Lord. Okay? Then in the third thing is what? Number three, you need to practice to be simple and open to the Lord. Be simple and open. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3. We need to have a simplicity and purity toward Christ. Everything in the society is complicating us. The Lord just wants us to love Him. That's it. You know, the Lord didn't complain about all the good things Ephesus did. But you know what? He had a big problem. The very thing He wanted, she didn't get. Love. Be simple, right? There's so many thoughts that have coming in that confuse and load us up. My goodness, right? We need to be simple, right? So, you know what happens when you love the Lord? You see things differently. You see things. What you thought the situation was, and you're loving the Lord, you're just simple, you realize, whoa, it's not the way I thought it was. Right? So, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3, we need to be simple and pure in our love for the Lord, okay? You know what our problem with our not being simple is we're very religious. Sisters, you're too religious. Even your prayers to the Lord, you're religious. You think, oh, to go confess, I have to do certain things. I have to say certain things. We need to be genuine with the Lord. The example is in Matthew 15 concerning the Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman was a Gentile. And she was there and she was hearing all the Jewish guys calling him, oh, son of David, son of David. And she thought, oh, I want to have contact with this one. And so she, as a Gentile, says, son of David, son of David. She prays a religious prayer, and the Lord doesn't recognize her. She's a Gentile. She can't call him son of David. She's like, man, what's going on? You know what she eventually says? Lord, help me! You know what the Lord does? Pays the right attention to her. We pray prayers, abba-da-ba-da-ba-da, Lord, abba-da-ba-da-ba-da. We never tell the Lord what we want. Be simple to just say, Lord, I want to love you. Lord, make me love you more. Lord, fill me. Or we're praying all these kind of prayers. Son of David, da-da-da, da-da-da. Just tell the Lord, Lord, help me. I don't love you. I want to love you. Right? Okay, number four is eat the Lord. The reward to this church is what? They could eat the tree of life. You want to love the Lord? Eat the Lord every day. Eat the Lord. Eat the Lord. The more you eat the Lord as life, you know what? The more you love the Lord. You haven't been reading the Word. You haven't been enjoying the Word. You haven't been eating. You know what? No love. You're not spending time with the Lord. Eat the Lord in the Word every day. Enjoy the Lord. The more you enjoy the Lord, the more you love Him. Amen. Number four, eat the Lord. This will maintain your love. Okay, then number five is, you sisters are in a great place for number five. Remain under the betrothing ministry of the New Testament. This is Paul's ministry. This is the revelation that's in the Bible. This is the ministry that we're under and enjoying. What does this ministry do? It does three things. It causes us to love the Bible more, love His believers more, and love the Lord more. Every time. Isn't it incredible? You hear the ministry, and right away, I love the Lord more. I love the saints. Oh, the sisters, they're awesome. What happened? This ministry betroths you unto Christ, right? So 2 Corinthians 11, true. So, what is this characteristic of this betrothing ministry? You know, it doesn't condemn. Every time you touch this ministry, it never is in this realm of condemning. And it doesn't excite you to do things. Tim, you should do 1, 2, 3, 4. What does it do? It stirs you up to love Him, to love His Word,
and to love the church. Thank the Lord for this ministry. Isn't this awesome? How about these five things? If we would enter into this, we would be those that learn from the Lord to be what? Restore our first love. Lord, we want to love you. Amen? Okay, we better stop here. Oh, I forgot to give you my other little gift. Got another little gift here, a little bookmark. So, what should you do all weekend long? Yeah, and love the Lord. So, this is a little bookmark for you. It's a good little quote from the ministry. We should get the brothers to help us with the announcements. Okay, if you have it, let's read it all together. Ready? Go. Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so prevailing. No other way is so safe, so rich, and so full of enjoyment. Just love Him. Do not care for anything else. And hopefully we'll sing the song sometime this weekend, right? Anybody else need a copy? You got it? If there's any extras, you can bring them back. So, Tom, what we want to do is have everybody needs to listen. We'll have Brother Tom give us the instructions as to the details and logistic of what needs to happen. And then the serving ones, we're going to go to a room next door just to have a little fellowship while you guys, sisters, sing and love the Lord. All right.
Okay. It's not a particular sequence, but for the driver, when we all exit the building tonight, please only make right turn. Doesn't matter what exit you go to, please make only right turn, okay? For safety purpose. And hospitality. On your badge, accommodation following the name of your host is where you will be staying. Okay? On your badge. So when we finish here, completely with the meeting, as you exit the hallway, you will go find your host. They should hold a sign with their names on. So if you, at my house, you will set the Fun's house and you go find me. Well, you'll find me. You'll find your host, you know, prospectively outside. And those who doesn't, there's some family can't make it tonight to pick you guys up or meet you and greet you. Please go to the registration desk. Workers only. Okay, when you go out there, the worker don't see the house. Let's say you don't see Mike Cower. Cower's house, you won't see him. He's at home preparing the rooms for you. All right. Go to service registration desk, worker, okay, and pick up your material for hospitality. One small thing is bathroom. Both bathrooms here are for sisters' use. So when you walk into a bathroom on the right, don't be surprised. There's still your bathroom to use on the other doors. And stay away from the other side where the brothers will be using. Okay? So stay mainly just these two. Meal, I think meals are in your schedule, meal times and things like that. Meal and activity for lunch are closely related. So when the meeting over tomorrow and Saturday at 12:30, I encourage all the sisters to line up and grab your food and go eat quickly, because we only have a mere 35, 40 minutes to eat and change for your activities. All right? And then activities, this time we really want the sister to blend, to know the body of Christ. So we have assign you to each group. Please do not change.
Amen.
Please. Unless you're double team with two workers in one team, you're allowed to change the worker to the team that has no worker on. But I think we try to make that, not that mistake, so you will all blend it. We're going to have bowling and volleyball, so it'll be very fun. Very, very fun. Okay, lastly, Baton Rouge, Houston, and Round Rock. Baton Rouge, Houston, and Round Rock. One representative worker need to go to the registration desk after the meeting's over.
Good.
Yes. Question? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so if you look at your schedules, tomorrow, Friday, August the 5th, you see at 8:45 a.m. after breakfast, you have a time of reading and small group fellowship and hospitality for an hour. So what we're going to do, you're all going to receive one of these. This is chapter one of the book, The World, Situation, and God's Move. So the instructions for Friday morning is you pray, read two verses, Acts 17, 26, and 27. You read half of this until you get to the part here Saturday morning. So you read half the chapter, pray, read the verses, then you fellowship about it. Then on Saturday, during the same time, you also do the pray, read the verses in Revelation and read the second half of the chapter.
Yeah. Where are those copies?
So the copies, the brothers in Richardson are arranging it. They will be, I'm not exactly sure. You should explain.
Sorry. They are with your host. They already have the copy. Your host will be waiting. They'll have all the copies. And one last thing is when the meeting's over, there are dessert and snack prepared for each one of you.
Yeah. And I would say you should encourage your host to join you in the reading if they're available. You should read with your host. It's very good. Blend with your host, even with this.
Yeah. Okay, should we? So schoolers are going to stay here and you guys are going to enjoy singing for about 10 minutes. And the serving ones, we're going to walk down to the dining hall to the left. So all those that are serving, let's go down. We're going to have some brief fellowship. The high school sisters should stay here. When the serving ones come back, then we'll go and be dismissed to our hospitality.
So, Tom, we want to stay here and sing with them?
Yes, please.